Bobby took Destiny to school, and as they got in the car and drove to school, I got up and just started thinking, man, I need to go run, because I'm trying to get lose this belly. So I'm like, I'm going to go run. And I had been running and trying to get in shape. It's a two-mile run around our neighborhood. And so that morning, I woke up, Bobby took off to school, and I got dressed and started to leave the house and go run. But something inside me said, just wait and give Bobby a chance to go with you. So when Bobby came home, I said, Bobby, you want to go run? You want to go do exercise? She says, yeah, let me change. And she ran and changed clothes, and she went with me. Pulling out of our driveway, we always, every time we've ever ran, we go to the left. We come out of the court, we take off running, and we run around the block 2 miles. For the very first time, Bobby says, hey, instead of us going to the right or to the left, let's go to the right this morning. And I'm like, I don't care. And we just took off. I made it 0.2 miles from our house, and my life changed. I want to show you just a little bit of the video.
I don't know. My husband and I were jogging, and he went down, and it's been like 4 minutes.
I need an address.
Okay. Okay, Valencia Lakes, your address.
Okay, I have, is he about 40 years old, your husband?
Yes. He's 48. He just turned 48 yesterday.
Okay, well, I have, EMS going.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
Is he still not breathing? Hello?
On October 13, 2009, at approximately 0900 6 hours, I was dispatched to 2732 Orange Grove Trail in reference to a medical call, patient status unknown. Upon arrival, I observed Corporal James Streeter, ID number 1928, kneeling on the ground next to the patient, later identified by his wife as Gregory Glenn Ball. Corporal Streeter was performing CPR on Mr. Ball. He had his AED out and was attached to the patient. Mr. Ball's face and lips were blue and discolored. He had just begun to breathe on his own. I spoke to Mr. Ball's wife, Barbara Ball, who advised me that they were running, and Mr. Ball ran ahead of her and suddenly dropped to the ground. She advised that she knocked on doors to ask for help, and no one answered. Mrs. Ball advised that she observed Corporal Streeter's sheriff's vehicle in his driveway. She knocked on his door and informed him of the situation. Corporal Streeter, who was not on duty, immediately responded to Mr. Ball and found him lying on the ground in front of the above address, unconscious and not breathing, with no pulse. Corporal Streeter advised that he immediately used his AED, which shocked Mr. Ball once. Corporal Streeter began CPR and advised that in the middle of the CPR, Mr. Ball had begun breathing on his own. EMS Medic Unit No. 10 arrived shortly after and transported Mr. Ball to Physicians Regional Medical Center on Pine Ridge Road. No further information at this time.
Scared to death when they decide to take that step out on Hi, this is Richard Gerber. Well, when I heard about Minister Graves having a heart attack, first thing that came inside of me was to go down to Florida. I didn't know why I was going down there. All I knew was that I was told in my head to go down to Florida, and I got in my car that same day, and I drove 22 and a half hours, I think it was, to get down there, and on the ride down there, God started dealing with my heart, and I knew that Greg was going to be all right. I knew God was going to deliver him and bring him out of what he was in, but I knew it was for a reason, and I believe that reason was for me to come back to Christ, and when I did come back to Christ, the Lord delivered me from alcohol and drugs again, and I had a lot of pain from the past, you know, from churches and religion, and I was scarred for a while over everything that took place in my life, and the Lord has been taking it out of me day by day, because all I do is just live a day-to-day relationship with my Lord. I don't worry about yesterday, and I don't worry about tomorrow. All I continue to do is look at today and do what I have to do today. The Lord's been showing me, like a crack in the wall, and if there's water behind it, all it takes is just a little tiny crack, and then that crack gets bigger and bigger. And he's showing me that's how I need to have my heart, as a little crack, to allow him to come in, because after a while, the more bigger the crack becomes, the more water starts flowing out, then it won't be me no more. It'll be all of God flowing through me. And, he's done a major work in my life over the past 3 weeks. Brought my family to love me again. Having my family go to church with me. A lot of different things that the Lord's doing for me at this point. And the biggest thing is that when I went out there, that I rededicated my life to the Lord and got right with God and got back on track to what I'm supposed to be called to be. Because my whole life I've been running for 13 years from what God has called me to do and called me to be. I've been, you know, using drugs and alcohol to try to cover up the pain. And in all reality, all I had to do was get on my knees and ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins. And it took the Lord putting Minister Greg down for a couple hours, you know, and, well, actually 10 minutes, wake me up. You know, and sometimes God does things that I really can't understand or explain, but all I know is meant for me to come back to the Lord when that took place. You know, that's what happened. Mr. Greg and Bobby and Jordan and Stephanie, I love you guys, and God bless you.
Hello, Greg Ball family. Your brother Jim Johnson calling. Arise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just got the news. God is still on the throne, and you are healed of the Lord. Once again, we say, he would never leave you nor forsake you. What a comfort. And we just want to just have a prayer with you, and you are the healed of the Lord, because you are a servant, patient servant, and our entire family. Brother Pastor Greg Ball, we just pray with you now and agree with you and your family that you will rise again and you never just stumble. The angel held you up. So in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this massive heart attack. We said a brand new heart put place, a brand new heart in the chest right now. In the name of Jesus, you can do it, Lord God. You gave the one that just something came against it, but we know that you are for us all. So we just love the Greg Ball family, and we thank you for them, their commitment to you, Father God, and soldiers of the cross, leading the way. Hallelujah, you little fishermen of men. That you bless them in Jesus' blessed name. Heal, restore, make brand new. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. At At that time, we took off running to the right. And I'm kind of stubborn. I just do things my own way. And Pastor Tina used to call me the bulldozer. I used to just, I don't know what I was thinking, but I just took off running. I got into a sprint. I'm just running. And I got probably maybe 100 yards in front of Bobby. And she's like, "What are you doing? I thought we was going to run together. Get the shorts out of your butt." I'm like, and then I just dropped. That's the last thing she said to me was, "Get the shorts out of your butt." And I just, she said the way that I fell and the way that, I mean, there was no stumbling or trying to catch yourself. She just knew. And I was just, she didn't even run up to me. I would think I would run up and check on you, you know. But the Holy Spirit put it in her heart and said, "You got to get help now." So she ran and she just beat on a door. She's beaten and beaten, and no one would come to the door. Ringing the doorbell, nobody would come. And she ran to the next house and just beat and rang the doorbell, and nobody would come. And she ran to the third house. And she's doing the same process, and she could see, this is the craziest thing, she could see two ladies and a little child coming to the door. And why I say it's crazy is because when we went back and visited the site and tried to time it again, and I want to know how long I was without air. How long was I dead for, you know? Because the doctor said between 10 to 15 minutes, and I'm like, that's just impossible. I know God's a God of impossibilities, but I'm like, it just can't be that long. And so we're trying to relive it and redo it, and we go to the door that Bobby went up and banged on the door. It's a solid steel door. And Bobby said, "Greg, I saw him. I saw two ladies and a little child. I saw him coming to the door. I was looking right at him. I saw him coming." Well, when they answered the door, of course, it was a steel door. There's no way in the natural she could have seen that, but the Lord positioned her there. They opened the door, and they spoke Spanish and didn't speak any English, and Bobby was yelling, "I need a phone. My husband's down. My husband's down. I need a phone. I got to call 911. I need a phone." And they couldn't understand her. Finally, they figured out what she's doing, all this, that she needed a phone, and they gave her the cell phone, and she dialed 911. And she's waiting, and it wouldn't go through. So she just threw the phone down and took off running back towards our house. On the way to running back towards the house, she looks back to see me, to see if what's, you know, just to look back at me, and there was a couple coming out of their house. And Bobby said, "Call 911, my husband's down, call 911. So they ran back in the house, and Bobby ran, and as she was running towards to get Jordan, my neighbor, his garage door was open, and he is a Collier County sheriff. And so Bobby ran to his house and beat on his door, ringing the doorbell like crazy, and he wasn't coming, so she ran around, ran through the garage, ran into his house, said, "Jim, Greg's down, I need you, I need help, I don't know what to do." And he said, "Call 911, and I'll go to him. Where's he at?" He said, "To the left." So he jumped in his car, drove to the left. He happened to have an AED machine in his car. He is one of 12 officers in his unit. Two officers have AED machines, and he was one of the two. And this was at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is just unheard of, that he would be home at that hour. Just everything. So he goes, and he hits me with the AED machine. He's a member of our church. He said, when I got there, Pastor, he said, "You were gone." He said, "You were just totally gone. You were already blue. There was no life in you. You were just..." He said, "I just knew what I needed to do anyways." And he hit me with the AED machine. Then he started giving me CPR. And he said, in the middle of doing the CPR, my heart started beating again. He got a heartbeat. And he kept doing CPR until the ambulance got there. So the ambulance came, and they took me to Pine Ridge Regional Medical Hospital. And Bobby was in the car with Jordan behind them. And they got to the hospital. And Bobby was immediately, being from here, knowing Cleveland Clinic is the best hospital in the world, she's like, "I got to get him to Cleveland Clinic. Just fly him to Miami. He's got to go to Miami. I don't want him here. He's got to go to Miami." And the doctors got her to calm down a little bit and said, "Listen, he's not stable enough to make the trip. He can't go to Miami. We have a new procedure. It's called hypothermia. I don't know what it's, hypothermia something. And we're trained here, and we can do this, and you need to let us do this. He can't make the trip. If you try to fly him there, he's not going to make it. And Bobby said, okay, so they got me in the ambulance again and transported me to Naples Hospital, and they began this process. What they did was they take a big catheter and they put it in your leg and you're growing, and they take it and they put this ice cold saline in your body and lower your body temperature. They packed my head in ice and they just lowered my body temperature. I actually got frostbite on the bottoms of my feet. They met with Bobby and said, "Now, Mrs. Ball, we want you to know we cannot undo what's already been done. One pupil was dilated, one wasn't." And they said, this is common with stroke victims. And, you know, they want to know all the history of everything. Bobby's like, you know, nothing. I mean, he's just been healthy. He doesn't have any seizures. He hasn't had anything like that. And so they began running all their tests to figure out how much brain damage was done. They estimated between 10 to 15 minutes that I was without air. Bobby and I ran it as fast as we could, without talking to people, without doing any beating on the doors. I put Bobby at the house, ran her to this house, ran her to that house, and I'm with my stopwatch. The quickest we could do it was about 8 minutes. The 911 call that came in, this is one, the other 911 call that came in, from the time that she made the 911 call till he got my heart started was 4.5 minutes. So the process of Bobby going through all those doors, I figured the best case scenario is that I was without air or oxygen for 8 minutes. Probably a little longer than that. They began the saline treatment in my body, lowering my body temperature down and trying to stop any further brain damage from going any further. And as they were doing, they're pumping so much fluid in my body. I was laying on my side, kind of, or my head was to the side. And Bobby said, my eye popped out. And she's like, what's going on? What's going on? Why is it doing that? He's just got a lot of fluid in his body. He's going to be all right. So all this was going through Bobby's head of the doctor saying, we cannot undo what's been done. All we can do is slow down anything from going any further. And all this process. And immediately, you know how the enemy is. I mean, just and in those circumstances, it was justified. There was all of this stuff going on. And she was having to process all this. Now, I'm going to tell you before I go any further, I did not see the white light. The tunnel, none of that. I mean, I cannot remember anything from the day before. They're telling me about where we had dinner and where we went to and what all we did. I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember anything. I try to think about it. I get like a real migraine, like needles piercing in my head. I'm like, forget it. I could care less where I was. Someday maybe the Lord will reveal it to me, you know. So they lowered the body temperature down, went through all that process. And for 3 days I was on life support in a coma. And on the fourth day, everything turned. Bobby was getting ready to go home. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Am I right? About 2? She was getting ready to go home, and the nurse comes running out, and the nurse was crying. She said, Mrs. Ball, Mrs. Ball, he's responding to commands. He's responding to commands. So she rushes back in, and you know, they want me to squeeze her hand. I don't remember any of this, so I don't know. They're just telling me all those things. And on the fourth day, when I came to, the first thing I remember was rubbing my head going, oh, my goodness, Bobby, how are we going to pay for this? That's the first words out of my mouth. How are we going to pay for this? Because I had no insurance. It was like, oh, man. My first bill from Naples Hospital was $107,000. And I get bills every day. So you just go, okay, just put them in that little file over there. That's good. But you know, and then the fourth day, I came out of the coma, and I asked them, could you get this tube out of my nose? That was the only thing hurting me. As soon as I got that out, I'm like, where's my cell phone? I just started calling people. I'm just back to work mode, man. I didn't feel any pain. I had no discomfort. I was actually ready to get up. I just wanted to go. Let's get out of here. What are we doing here, you know? And but sitting down with Bobby, I'm like, baby, tell me, what was your process? You know, how did all this happen? I know this, that while I was in that coma, I have an iTouch phone, and I'm our iTouch iPod thing, and my wife put Bishop T.D. Jakes in my ears, and Bishop was preaching away the whole time I was in that coma. Jim Johnson called. 3 to 4 times a day, my wife would stick that phone in my ear, and I would hear, brand new, brand new, brand new heart, heal, restore, make new. You're the healed of the Lord. And that word was just being pumped into me constantly. I mean, there was an army. Just my wife has had dreams, and she said, I could see it as like an orchestra of prayers, a symphony of prayers that was just being conducted all over the world and all over the country, just prayers being ushered up into heaven. And I said, Bobby, like, what was the process for you? Like, how did you respond? And the first thing Bobby did was she said after she went and made the 911 calls, well, she ran back to me. And she never looked at my face. She never saw the blueness of my face and all that. She just grabbed a hold of my feet, and she laid there at my feet and began to weep and say, God, you can't take him. Lord, don't take him. We need him, Lord. Don't let him go. We don't let him go. We need him, Lord. We need him, Lord. And there was that process of standing in everything that she had heard, everything that she knew, that she could stand on faith and believe God for a miracle. And there was that whole process, and that's why it's so important that you continue to stay in the house of the Lord and hear the word of the Lord. You say, well, I can be saved at home. Yeah, you can be saved at home. I am not going to sit here and tell you you can't, but you've got to have that word continuously spoken into your life. You have to be encouraged in faith. And so she stayed at my feet, and she began to just weep over me and say, God, you can't take him. Lord, don't take him. And then came the process of, you know, through all the reports, you know, there's, you know, why is his eye dilated and we can't stop anything further? And there became that place of release to say, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. If you don't give me a miracle, it doesn't change anything. I trust you. I'm not talking to you right now because I need a miracle. I'm telling you, you're my God and I trust you. I release everything. I'm not gonna doubt you in anything. I'm just gonna trust you. And it became a total submission to the Lord to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I trust you. Now you say, how can you do that when your husband's laying there in a coma? I don't know how it happened, but I know the woman of God that God's given me, and God spoke to her and said, just trust me with him. Just trust me with everything. And so somebody, that's a word for you today. You need to trust him in everything. You need to stop trying to figure it out and question why and try to get it off. Well, why is this happening and how is this going to work out? Don't worry about it. God will work it out for your good. God will not fail you. And you can just take that to the bank. He is a good God full of good things for his people. Amen. Well, it don't look too good. Pastor Ball, because you're laying there in a coma, and where's the miracle? The miracle was there when she was able to release me and say, I trust you, Lord. Then the word of the Lord came. And I'm going to tell you, my wife will tell you, she could not get anything. She was reading the Bible. She was reading devotions. Everybody's bringing her a word. And I got a word for you. And I got all this. And nothing mattered. Nothing leaped in her spirit and said, that's it. And then there was a moment when somebody handed her this thing and she took it home in Psalm 118, verse 17. This verse leaped off the pages and into her heart. She had never heard the verse, didn't know the verse, but it said, I will not die, I will live, and I will declare the righteousness of my God. And when that word came to her, it was over. Devil lost. It was over at that point because it was like, you know what? I got a word from God. I don't got anybody telling me this is what's going to happen and this is what God's going to do. And it was like, no. She got a rhema, now word off the scriptures, out of the book that leaped into her spirit. And from that moment on, there was this extreme supernatural faith that came over. He's going to be all right. He's going to be restored. He's going to be healthy. He's going to preach. He's going to declare righteousness of our God. He's been raised to reach. Now, see, that got into her spirit, and then it changed everything. See, that's why you can't afford to go week in and week out and have a whole week go by with no scripture in your heart. where you don't even open the Bible and you think, well, I'm a believer. Yeah, you're a believer. But when crisis comes knocking on your door and when you need a miracle, you better have your heart ready to receive a now word from God. Amen? And so Bobby grabbed a hold of that and she said, that's my word. And I just know he's going to be all right. After I came to, I had this crazy slurred speech. I was talking like this, like I was drunk or something. So Bobby's like, you're going to be all right. You're all right. You're going to be healed. You're going to be healthy. It's going to be okay. And she left and went and called Andrew. Andrew Payne is a nurse. Bobby was staying at their house because it was close to the hospital. So she called Andrew at work. What time was it when you called him? 1:30 in the morning. Andrew? Greg's come off the sedation, but he's got a real slurred speech, and his words just run together. Is that because of the medicine? Andrew's like, yeah, that's probably just because of the medicine. She goes, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's just because of the medicine, right? He's going to be all right? Andrew said, yeah, he's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. So Bobby goes back into the room, and she comes over, and she's just talking to me, and my speech is all slurred, and it sounded really funny. And the nurse comes in, she says, well, I feel so much better. I just talked to a friend of mine that's a nurse, and he told me that his speech is still slurred because he's on this medicine and stuff. And the lady went, oh, no, he's been off the medicine for a long time. And she's like, well, that's okay, because if he's going to talk like this to preach the gospel, that's just what he's going to have to do. He'll just have to talk with a slur, but he's going to preach because he's been raised to reach. Amen? And she just said, it's just going to have to be that way. But as time went on, you know, the Lord just began to restore to me all of my health. And Pastor and Pastor Tina flew down and sat with me in that hospital room and prayed over me and prayed with me. And the doctor came in. This was like the sixth or seventh day. And they all signed off and released me from everything. So the neurologist came in to do a checkup on me. And he walked in the room, and I'm already standing up, dressed, ready to go. I'm ready to get out of there. And he's kind of looking around. I said, how you doing? And he goes, are you Mr. Ball? I said, yeah. He goes, wow. Like that, wow. And are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I feel great. I'm ready to go. I mean, the doctor's already released me, and I feel good. And he goes, man, you're a lucky man. I said, no, you know, doc, I'm really not lucky at all. This was a divine appointment. I feel like God has sovereignly touched my life, and I got people praying all over the world for me, and people are just crying out to the Lord for me. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, it works. It works. And he just turned and walked out and didn't really know what to say to us. So I was ready to go, and I got all my clothes on, I got jeans on, and I'm ready. And they said, the doctor will be by in a few minutes to check you out, Mr. Ball. Just relax. And so I waited till about 1 o'clock, and he still wasn't there. This was like 10 in the morning. About 1 o'clock, doctor hasn't come by yet. I walked out to the foyer out there. I'm like, hey, I thought they were going to get me out of here. Where's my doctor at? She said, well, he's on the floor. He's touching base with other patients right now. He'll be out here in a minute. He'll be by in a few minutes. So I laid back down, sat there on the bed waiting, watching the clock go by. And about 5:30, 6 o'clock, I walk back out. I'm like, where is the doctor at? It's 6 o'clock. I'm supposed to have been gone a long time ago. She said, Mr. Ball, I don't know. He said he's coming. Just be patient. I'm like, okay. So I go back in there and sit on the bed. I'm just waiting and waiting. And finally, about 7 o'clock, they came in and said, Mr. Ball, he's probably not going to come this late. You might as well just put your gown back on. You're going to be here for another night. And I'm like, mad? Oh, so mad. Man, I want to get out of here. So I sat down, and I'm so mad, and this young guy walks by my hospital room. He's got a gown on. He can barely walk. He's like 27 years old. So he walks by my room, and I smiled at him. He gave me a little head nod, just walked on by. And then a few minutes later, he walks by. He's looking in my room, gave me the head nod, went on by. The fourth time that he came by my room, I said, hey, are you all right? He said, no, I'm not. I said, what's going on, man? You want to talk? He said, yeah, I want to talk. Amen. So he comes in and he sits down. And I just start telling him my story, you know. I said, tell me your story. He'd had 5 heart surgeries already, 28 years old, has a wife and 2 kids and a baby on the way. They just told me there's no more they can do for me. They're life-flighting me to Philadelphia for open-heart surgery again. And I'm like, man, let's pray. And I told him my story. And he said, you know, he said, I've been hurt from ministry. He said, I was going to a church in Tampa. And he said, I got married by the pastor's father. And me and my wife are sitting there. We've been married for 3 weeks. And the pastor walked out on the pulpit and said, my wife and I are no longer going to be married. She's going to be going and doing her ministry. I'm going to still be the pastor of the church. But God does things in seasons. And our season is up. And he's sitting there. He looked at his wife. He goes, are you kidding me? This is a season for us? This is just a season? This is garbage. And he got his wife and he walked out of that church. And he hadn't been to church for years. And he was just so wounded because of all that. Then he and his wife, after the second baby, decided, let's go back and try church. Let's just get back in church and just forget all that. And they go into the church and they sit there. And they're sitting there just for a few minutes. And the pastor walks out on the pulpit. And he goes, you know what? I've been the pastor of this church for like 7 or 8 years now. And I'm going to be leaving. And next week there's going to be a new pastor that's coming in to preach. God does things in seasons, and my season at this church is up. And he said, I looked at my wife, I said, I ain't having nothing to do with this. This is crazy. And he left, and from that time on, he lived a wounded, broken, confused life. He said, I don't know if there is a future, but I'm in heaven or whatever for me. But he said, I'm just doing the best I can and hoping that I'll make it. And I said, you know what, buddy? There is not a good place for good people. When you die, good people don't go to a good place. There's only saved and not saved. There's only those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and those that have not. Just being a good person, you're not going to end up in a good place. And big tears began to come down his eyes. And I said, you know what we need to do is we need to surrender your life to Christ. And you need to open yourself up to begin to trust again. And to believe again. Not in man, not in man's programs or man's agendas. But you need to believe in a living God that loves you and that cares for you. And that young man gave his life to Jesus Christ. And last Sunday morning was at church with me. And has radically been changed. Listen. Richard gave his testimony of how God miraculously touched his life. This young man, Felix, God saved him. Miraculously touched his life. The week of my accident, my wife's cousin, for 20 years, they've been praying for him and believing God for his salvation. For 20 years, he's rejected God. Said, I don't want anything to do with that. When I went down and when my heart stopped, now listen, I did not have a heart attack. My heart went to sudden death. They call it V-fib. My heart, because I was running, I had 95% blockage in the main artery, the Widowmaker artery. They call it the Widowmaker because usually when you have a heart attack in that artery, you die. The doctor said there's less than a 2% chance that you would live in this situation and in this circumstance. And for you not to have brain damage, heart damage, or any kind of lasting effects on your body is so minute. He said, I cannot even explain to you how rare it is that you would be alive right now and be healthy. I know, and you know. Let me just tell you this. God raised me up not just for me and not just so I can tell this. You need to tell this. You need to tell this. I know a man that was dead for 10 minutes. I saw him. He's healed. He's healthy. He's whole. And you can use this to win the lost. You can use this testimony to get into people's hearts. I can't explain it to you, but I know that it works because everywhere I go, I've been sharing it. Last night at a Christmas party, I began sharing, and we had family members at the Christmas party. This girl just blurts out. It was Bobby's niece. She blurts out, this is for me. This is for me. I've been a sinner. I need to get right with Jesus. I'm like, come on, baby. Let's just pray right now. And we laid in the floor in the basement of their house with all the family around. She got saved. You can do the same thing. You can share this story. Share what God's done. That doctor went in to put my stent in, and he's looking at the scope, and I'm looking at it, and he's going through there, and it's weird how you just lay there, and you're wide awake watching all this, you know, and he's putting this big old line up through there and going up through your heart. Oh, there's your problem right there. There's your problem. Look at that. You're 95% blocked in the main artery. He said, I can fix this, though. I think I can fix this. I'm like, okay. I said, you're good, man. I got confidence in you. He said, good. This is my second time doing this. I said, no, you're a rat. That's bad. That's bad, man. You're a rat. That's bad. He starts laughing. And he's working on it. I'm praying my guts out, man. He said, he just went, got it. I got it. I nailed it. That's perfect. That's perfect. I nailed it. I got it in the right place, man. You're good. You're good. And he went out and told Bobby, he said, man, I was this close to where we were going to have to open heart surgery on him. But he said, I got it. It's in the perfect spot. He's healthy. I saw him 2 weeks ago. I went in and said, Doc, checked me out, did all my things, went through all the vitals. And he said to Bobby, he said, look, I've seen his arteries. I've seen your heart. You're in good shape. You have no heart damage. Your arteries are clear. Go live a normal life, man. Just go be normal. I'm like, I'm trying. I'm trying. Everybody in the room that either you were a part of Fresh Fire Youth Ministry or a leader in Fresh Fire Youth Ministry, would you stand up right now? Everybody who is either were there or was a leader there, all right? Amen. Everybody look at me. Listen to me. Don't go to hell for anybody. You are God's chosen kids and people and adults. And I encourage you, baby, stand strong. Don't let the cares of this life get so overwhelming in you that you just get tired and quit. You cannot afford to get tired and quit right now. We got people to touch, we got lives to change, we got a message to give. Would you give all my kids and leaders and just give them all a big hand? You can be seated. You can be seated. I don't even know where to go with this. Have you been hurt? Oh, Bobby, come on.
You know, I just want to say, Church on North Coast, you're our family. Thank you for all your prayers. You're such a part of my faith in the Lord. I can just look out in the sea of faces, just individual faces. I see just so many memories, so many, you know, life events that we've shared together. When this happened to Greg, I had so much faith in the Lord. I didn't have faith that he was going to be, he was dead, he was gone. And, but my faith was in my Savior. The one who was dead for 3 days and rose again. Brother Jim Johnson, thank you. Your prayer, it's so important that we have people to pray with us and agree with us. And that prayer, I held on to it. When it came through, it was on Greg's phone, and I held on to that, and I would put it up to his ear and just let it play over and over and over again, and healed and whole and made brand new. But I guess what I would want to say today is that we don't know what tomorrow holds. But there's a place in Jesus that we can be in, and we not always does it turn out like this. You know, we've prayed before for family, loved ones, and they've gone on, and they, you know, it's like, Lord, we've prayed, we've stood on your scriptures, you know, and they're in heaven now, but we serve an awesome God. And he, no matter what, our trust is in him and his plan for our life. And I just knew when Greg was down and the ambulance was getting ready to take him away, I said, God, I trust you because you are the Lord of my life. There's a trusting place that we can go with him. And it's that Abraham and Isaac faith. It's God, yeah. It's that though you slay me, yet will I serve you.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage you. Just hold on to the Lord and everything that you've been through in your life is working together for a purpose. And this happened to Greg. It's not about him. It's not about him. It's about each one of us. Did he see the light? No. But I think a lot of us did. I know I did. I saw the light. God took me to a place with him that, how can you be going through something like that and have the joy of the Lord down in your soul and just know that you serve a great God when your husband's laying there in a coma?
You know, like she's just showing me all these pictures, you know. And after she got that word from God about I will not die, I will live and declare the works of the Lord, the righteousness of God. Bobby's sitting there with her Starbucks. I'm on life support hooked. I'm sitting there, and all these wives, she's like.
Well, I have to explain that one.
I'm like, what are you so happy about? Was you checking out life insurance? See, you figured out I had some life insurance or what, man? She's like.
I have to explain that one. That was the morning he came to. He squeezed my hand, said I love you and all that. So, you know.
I'm like, man, what's up
but
with
I
that? Everybody's smiling around
that
here.
Picture.
I'm laying there half dead. You all smiling, happy?
God is good.
I was gone. Hey, listen, I'm going to do this. There was no minutes. There was no time. There was not even a second for me to say, oh, God, help me. When I was a kid, I was 17 years old, and a car fell on me. I was working underneath the car. And I popped the car out of gear, and the car fell on me, and it crushed me and took all the life out of me. And I was laying there with I had headers on the car, and the headers was burning my arm, and the flesh was burning up in my face. And I laid there, and I said, oh, God, help me. And I went up in a cloud, and I saw the bright light. Yeah, I know that you think this is crazy, but this is happening to me. And I'm sitting on this cloud, and I watched a paper boy come by, and he grabbed my legs and tried to pull me out from under the car, and he couldn't. He ran next door, and he beat on the door, and he got a neighbor, and a neighbor was a fireman. My sister come out. They jacked the car up. They pulled me out from under, and I'm on the cloud going, Kathy, I'm okay. I'm okay, Kathy. I'm all right. And she scooped down, blood coming out of my ears, out of my eyes, out of my nose. My face had just so much pressure on it. Blood was just coming everywhere. She grabbed me, and I'm looking at her as blood is all over her face. I'm in this cloud, and I'm like, I'm okay, Kathy, I'm okay. And I had time to repent. But in this situation, I had not 1 second to cry out, God help me, God forgive me, Lord make me right. There was not 1 second to do that. Tomorrow is promised to no man. And if you think you're invincible, you are sadly mistaken. You are sadly mistaken. Because you don't know the moment or the hour that God's going to call you out. And if you're not ready, chances are you're not going to get ready. I'm going to ask you right now. If you were to die today, if the breath in your body were to leave you today, and you were to face God, would he be able to look at you and say, enter in, my good and faithful servant? Or would he say, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. You're a worker of sin. You've given your life over to everything else but me. I am not your master controller. I am not your Lord. You served money, you served your job, you served everything but me. Today, if you're here and you hear this testimony, because I was healthy. I felt like I just could do anything. I didn't have any blood pressure problems, no cholesterol problems. I felt strong. But baby, when God calls you, that's it. If you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, this is the most important thing to me. I love seeing all of you, but I would be, this makes it worthwhile if one of you would hear my voice and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've been wounded like Richard was, or you've been hurt like Felix was, and you're just saying, well, you know what? I've been let down so many times. In 1 Samuel 16, in verse number 1, the word of the Lord came to Samuel and said, why are you mourning after Saul, what I've rejected? Fill your horn with oil and go to Jesse. I've anointed myself a king. Some of you need to leave the past in the past, and you need to move forward with God. You need to leave the past where it's at. It's past. It's gone. And you need to grab a hold of what God's doing right now. You need to fill your horn with oil. You need to fill your horn with oil. He didn't say, let me fill your horn with oil. He said, you fill your horn with oil because I'm sending you to anoint a new king. If you're here today and your heart's not right with Jesus Christ, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to stand up on your feet right where you're at and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I've got to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. One. Think about it, man. What do you got to, what in the world could be holding you back? Two. Three. Stand up on your feet right now. All over the room. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, stand up to God. If that's you, you just stand up to God. You're standing up to God right now. So I stand up to what you're saying, Lord. Amen. Come on, step out of your seats and come to the altar right now. Just come right now. Come on, go ahead, Troy. Come on.
Hallelujah. And all over this room.
Come on, just stand up, baby. Just stand up. Stand up.
I think it's fitting.
Come on.
He said earlier, he said that the doctor said you have a 2% chance or less. 2% or less. Listen to me. 2% or less of survival. And when he said that, I heard God say, there's a lot of people like that in here today. They've got 2% or less. They're dealing with a 2% or less situation in their life. And if that's you today, why don't you just stand to your feet? I've got something that I'm dealing with. And the chances of it coming out good are 2% or less. There's all kinds of them. Just stand to your feet all over this room. You're dealing with something that only God can fix. Only God can heal. Only God can touch. Only God, it's dead, and only God can raise it from the dead. You say, that's me. That's me. Come on, there's more. There's more. I know there's more. Come on, that's you. God raises the dead. He's raised the dead. You're looking at a miracle, and God can do it for you too. If he did it for Greg Ball, he can do it for you. He can raise the dead in this room right now. He's raising the dead. He's raising your 2% or less from death to life. He's bringing it back to life. It was in the tomb. It stinks by now. It's all gone, packed up. You're ready to have a ceremony and put it in the ground, but God's not done. God's not finished yet. Now just stand on your feet. Just say, I'm dealing with a 2% or less. There's some stuff. My child's gone. My marriage is gone. I got all kinds of stuff that's in the grave. Now, somebody go and pray for these people. Come on, leaders, elders, go grab a hold of these people. Go grab a hold of them. And agree with heaven for them. We agree with heaven right now for you. We agree with heaven right now for you. That God is raising the dead. He's raising your situation. The doctor said you're going to die. The doctor said there's a tumor. The doctor said this. The doctor said that. We do not believe the reports of the doctors. We do not believe the reports of man. We believe the report of God. We believe that God can take this situation right here and raise it to new life. They say it's impossible, but our God is an impossible God. Our God is an impossible God. Our God is an impossible God. He raises things to life. He's bringing them to life right now. We give you thanks today, Jesus, for you are the resurrected one. You give resurrection power, full of life. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. For touching and making alive and restoring and refreshing and making new all over in this room. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, we want to give you an opportunity to sow a seed into Pastor Greg's life. You heard his report about about all of the finances that are mounting every day. He told the story the other day about how one hospital released him. And we're believing that the rest of the hospitals are going to follow suit. But we want to bless him. We want to bless his ministry. This is a message. I used this message personally in Haiti. And I saved a whole block of a hospital. In Haiti, the hospitals are huge. And they have a big courtyard. And I walked in the middle of it. And I said, I know a man who was dead 2 to 3 days. And God raised him to new life. These doctors can't heal you. But my Jesus can heal you. And all of a sudden in that courtyard, people began to get saved. People began to get healed. It's a message that the world needs to hear. And so we want to give you the opportunity to sow seed into Pastor Greg's ministry. And the ushers are coming right now. Give you an opportunity to do that. Immediately following the service, we have to go, but immediately following the service, the altar ministers are going to come forward. And if you need prayer for something, if you need personal ministry, if you need a word from the Lord, our elders and our altar ministers, they want to minister to you. Father, we thank you for this message of hope, this message of resurrection power. We thank you, Lord, that faith has been restored through this message. I know it's restored a lot of people's faith in this room right now. And I know the world needs to hear it, God. And so I thank you for every seed that's sown today. We thank you, God, that you're a miracle working God still. You're still alive and performing miracles in the world today. So we know this message needs to go forward. We pray that every seed sown today would miraculously heal the sick, raise the dead. God, that it would reunite family members, that it would make cold hearts warm again. God, that they would catch on fire for you. We give you praise today and thank you for the message of the cross, which is power and life and vitality. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. The altars are open.
I love you guys. I love you all so much. Thank you for everything. Thank you for praying. Thank you for believing. We got this, amen. We got this, Paul. We got this. You guys live right, all right? I love you. Keep praying for us, okay? And I'll keep praying for you, too.